Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Brian Lehrer's Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, May 26th. I'm Bridget Bergen from the WNYC and Gothamist newsroom, filling in for Brian Lehrer, who's off today. It's so difficult to face that there's been another mass shooting in America less than 2 weeks since the previous one. Here's Governor Hochul on that in her press conference yesterday.
But just this morning, as we're all reeling with the pain, I'm asking myself as governor, am I supposed to just leave all the flags at half mast? They're still at half mast from Buffalo.
New York has tougher gun laws than Texas, especially New York City, of course, but there are proposals to tighten regulations further in the wake of these shootings before the legislative session ends 1 week from today on June 2nd. To talk about what's been proposed, I'm joined by my colleague, John Campbell, who covers Albany for WNYC and Gothamist. Hello again, John.
Hi, Bridget.
We'll also be joined a little later by State Senator Zellner Myrie, a sponsor of the legislation from last year to hold gun manufacturers liable for gun violence that was just upheld in a court ruling yesterday. First, John, Governor Hochul's response to her own question of what to do beyond lowering the flags to half-mast was, as she put it, to harness the anger and act. And just last week, she announced executive orders and new legislation to address gun violence. So what's first on her agenda?
Well, there's a few different things. One, she issued an executive order regarding the red flag law. And that was a bill that was passed a couple years ago that allowed certain people close to a gun owner or somebody who could be purchasing a gun to file an application with a judge, basically, for what's known as an extreme risk protection order. And basically, that says there's some reason that this person should not own a gun. They are a threat to themselves, or they are a threat to others. And in the case of the Buffalo shooting, the 18-year-old from Conklin, New York, he had actually made a threat on a school paper. It was some sort of school project while he was a senior in high school, where he had said on some sort of paper or questionnaire that he wanted to commit a murder-suicide. And that did trigger a mental health evaluation. The school did alert state police, but nobody filed that extreme risk protection order application. So he was able to purchase a gun, a AR-15, Safe Act compliant AR-15 in New York State legally after his 18th birthday. He later modified that gun illegally to put on a bigger magazine, but the governor issued an executive order directing state police to file those extreme risk protection order applications if they have probable cause that somebody is a threat to themselves or others. That also led to yesterday, because the Texas shooting, also allegedly committed by an 18-year-old with a legally purchased AR-15 or multiple in this case, the governor yesterday said she's going to be pushing for legislation that would ban the sale of AR-15s, these semi-automatic rifles, to people under the age of 21. Currently in New York, outside of New York City, you can buy them if you're at least 18. So she's going to be pushing that as well. And that's going to be a big topic of conversation over the next week before lawmakers end their annual session in Albany.
So a lot to do in a short amount of time here. In terms of the red flag law, does she not need legislators to act on this? Is the executive order enough to compel action going forward?
The executive order applies to state police because that's what's under the governor's purview. That is part of the governor's administration. She appoints the superintendent of the state police. There could be opportunity for more legislation, but that is what's being debated behind closed doors right now, what to do, what not to do. Assembly Democrats debated some of this stuff yesterday, and there's really only three session days left before lawmakers head home to their districts for the year. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that's when we're going to find out whether anything happens here.
And in terms of her newest proposal to change the age limit, a federal appeals judge just threw out a similar law in California earlier this month. That decision may be appealed. How much is that factoring into the conversation that lawmakers are having in Albany about this?
So you have seen similar laws being passed. You're right. You said California. There's a similar one in Florida, the state of Washington, and there have been various court challenges from the you know, gun rights activist side of the political sphere, NRA backed, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. California, you're right, there was just a very recent decision in the circuit court, the mid-level appeals court, basically, that said that, you know, banning the sale of AR-15s to those that are age 18, 19, 20, that violates their Second Amendment rights. And that is, you would almost certainly see something like that in New York. In Florida, there's been similar challenges, and so far the state has prevailed in those. So, I mean, this very well could be something that works its way up to the Supreme Court, and we all know right now we have a conservative Supreme Court that, you know, is on the verge of expanding Second Amendment rights, potentially regarding concealed carry, out of a case based in Rensselaer County up here near me in Albany. So it is, you know, it is a tough road, judicially speaking, right now in the federal courts for you know, gun control legislation. And this certainly would be challenged. The governor was asked about that yesterday, and she said, "I can't let the courts decide my course of action here." Basically, she said, "I think this is the right thing to do, so I'm going to try to do it, and then after that, let the chips fall where they may."
After the shooting in Buffalo, she also proposed new legislation, including enacting something called micro-stamping. Can you talk about what's involved there?
Yeah, and this is something that goes back to the days of Michael Bloomberg. He made a big push for this in Albany when he was very active in Albany. He was a big supporter of Senate Republicans who had the majority in Albany in those days. And he wanted a law that would allow for, basically require new guns to have micro-stamping technology. And that is exactly what it sounds like. You fire the gun and it leaves a microscopic stamp or two on the bullet casing. And what that does is allows law enforcement, police, to know exactly which gun that came from, who purchased it. It essentially puts the serial number on that bullet, connecting it to the gun. And that is something that has been pushed in New York for quite some time. It has never made its way through. It was approved in California in 2007, but it ended up being kind of toothless because it only applied to new models of guns, and the gun industry said, well, we'll just keep selling the old models, basically. They've made some changes in recent years. Those changes are being challenged in court. And we asked Governor Hochul about that, too. She wants this micro-stamping technology. And she basically said, we're going to learn from California's mistakes or what they learned, what they didn't learn, and try to craft the law in a way that accounts for that. But gun laws get challenged in court, and that will almost certainly happen in New York if this passes. But it's not a total given that it will pass, even though the Assembly and Senate are both controlled by Democrats.
And we're joined now by New York State Senator Zellner Myrie, who represents the Brooklyn neighborhoods of Brownsville, Crown Heights, East Flatbush, Gowanus, Park Slope, Prospect Heights, Prospect Lefferts Gardens, South Slope, and Sunset Park. He also chairs the Elections Committee. Welcome back to the show, Senator Myrie.
Always good to be with you, Bridget.
Senator, you were the sponsor of a bill to hold gun manufacturers responsible for mass shootings and gun violence. Not surprisingly, perhaps, gun manufacturers sued to block its implementation, but it was just upheld yesterday in federal court. So what does that mean going forward?
Yeah, it was a significant ruling and opinion by the court. And let me just say, but before I get into that, as I was thinking through the preparation for this meeting, for this interview, you know, I pouring over the policy ideas and what the next steps are, were really secondary to just uncontrollable crying and outrage. And I have to say this, and I have to make this point, that I am so disgusted with what we are going through. It is intolerable. It is so disrespectful to our right to live and exist in this country in peace. And we have bent at the knee of the gun industry, refusing to make the changes that are within our power to make. And so I am just, I'm deeply saddened, but I'm also deeply enraged. And I think it's important for us to channel that into making some changes. Part of what we tried to do with this law was to hold an industry that makes billions of dollars every single year off of the pain and the suffering of our people, to hold them accountable for their reckless behavior. And this law was passed last June. It was signed into law last July. And the week before Christmas, instead of introspection, instead of contemplating what they could do differently to keep Americans safe, to keep New Yorkers safe, the gun industry took us into federal court. We were hopeful the entire time that the court would uphold this law as constitutional, that it would uphold New York's right to protect its citizens. And yesterday we got that news. It has been a terribly dark 2 weeks for many of us in this country, but yesterday's ruling was a ray of light in that sea of darkness.
Well, I think your description of your feelings probably resonates with a lot of our listeners. So I just want to acknowledge that. In addition to yesterday's ruling, you know, we've been seeing mass shootings, gun violence of a different sort plague New York City, where a man was just shot by all accounts at random on the Q train on Sunday. The handgun in that case had been stolen in Virginia. Does the liability law impact cases like that?
It theoretically could, Bridget. The law outlines a number of things for the court to examine in cases of gun violence and those who were impacted by it. It lays out steps for the court to examine, like whether or not the gun store, the gun dealer, the gun manufacturer had in place proper protective procedures to disallow its product from being stolen. I can imagine a scenario in which a gun store in Virginia, having just been the victim of consecutive robberies, but then not taking any action to secure their store, might be held liable after going through this analysis by the court. And I want to make clear that it is a small percentage of gun dealers and gun stores that are responsible for the overwhelming majority of illegal guns that make their way to our streets. Nearly 76% of guns that are found on a crime scene in New York do not originate in New York. They come from states like Virginia and other states in the South. This is what is commonly referred to as the iron pipeline. And because of inaction on the federal level, and because of the protection that they have from a federal statute, the gun industry has been largely not held accountable and allowed to let these types of practices ensue that end up killing our children, end up killing our people here in this state. And so this law would empower the attorney general, it would empower anyone who has been a victim, and it would empower some of our local city lawyers to go after bad actors in the industry.
Joined now by Assemblymember Joanne Simon from District 52, another one of your colleagues in Albany who has been working on some of this legislation to address the issue of illegal guns. Assemblymember Simon, welcome to WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you, Bridget. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you about this extremely important topic. And good morning, Senator Myrie.
Good morning, Joanne.
And Assemblymember, in this case, talk to us about some of what Governor Hochul has talked about in terms of the red flag law and how you see what work you think can be accomplished before the end of the session.
Well, you know, we've been talking, we conferenced about a number of possible ways that we could address this issue because it's a multi-pronged issue. So no one bill is going to make the difference. But, you know, the governor signed an executive order that would require law enforcement when presented with the facts and circumstances that demonstrate that someone is in danger of being a risk to themselves or others, which is a tough standard to meet. They have to have evidence of that. that they would be required to apply for an extremist protection order. And I think, you know, one of the things we've seen since the law has been in effect is that, you know, over 1,000, about 1,400 ERPOs have been issued, which has saved countless lives. And let's remember that 2/3 of gun deaths are suicides. So we are protecting people in that respect as well. However, not enough people are using it. And so before actually even the Buffalo shooting, I was talking about a public education campaign because people need to know that. When you look at the data, there's only been like three issued from Brooklyn, for example, and two from the Bronx and none from any other borough. Now, there are reasons for that. We have fewer guns that are purchased in New York City. It's harder to get a gun in New York City in many respects. But the reality is, as the senator was speaking about the iron pipeline, if somebody has a weapon that they got through the iron pipeline and they have demonstrated that they're a danger to themselves or others, you have real reason to believe that that person would be a candidate for an extremist protection order. The young man who just shot up the grocery store in Buffalo had come in contact with the police before. He was on Facebook. He told people. I think what happens is that law enforcement looks at whether they're a direct threat, which is a different analysis for an extremist protection order, and doesn't realize that there is this extremist protection order that they could apply for. And so we want to make sure that law enforcement knows, but also that family members, school community members who also have the right to apply may choose not to because they may have fears in their own lives if they're living with someone. But they can go to law enforcement to do that. And so too many people don't know that they can apply for such an order.
Assemblymember Joanne Simon, thank you so much for joining us and for weighing in on this really crucial issue. It was great to have you in this conversation today.
Thank you.
And in our last couple minutes in this segment, I want to go back to Senator Myrie, just in terms of, you know, there have been these proposals that we've talked about. How likely do you believe these proposals from Governor Hochul that John was laying out for us will be taken up before the session ends?
You know, I think the legislature has demonstrated its ability to pass sweeping gun safety laws. We mentioned some of them in our conversation this morning. So we're always open to having serious discussions about how we can further advance the safety of New Yorkers and set an example for the rest of the country. I look forward to having those conversations over the next couple of days. I think John rightly alluded to the short amount of time that we have, but if anyone has been following Albany, we have done a lot of things in short windows many times. And when it comes to the safety of our neighbors, when it comes to the safety of our families, we are going to bring every tool to bear in order to protect New Yorkers all over the state. So I'm optimistic that we will get some things done. I can't say exactly what and how many, but I look forward again to doing everything in my power to ensure that we're keeping New Yorkers safe. I want to just very quickly, if I can, Bridget, address the root causes of gun violence. You know, in my earlier soliloquy, notwithstanding, we have been talking about this. And when we ask for more resources, we're told that you can't get them. There are structural issues that prevent us. And when I say us in this context, I mean Black and brown communities where gun violence is most prevalent. I'm talking about Black males who are 14 times more likely to be killed by a gun than their white counterparts. I'm talking about Black women who the CDC just reported witnessed the highest increases of homicides by way of guns in 2020. When we have cried out for these resources, we do not get them. So I'm always a little tweaked by those criticisms because it's just not based in reality. We can do two things at once. We can invest in our communities. We can provide the requisite resources, and we can attack the dangerous instrument that has grave consequences, literally, for the misuse. And so I plan on doing that, and I hope that my colleagues will be joining us as well.
Thank you, Senator Myrie. John, before we wrap up, I want to give you the last word since you helped start us out today. You know, you will be in a position to hold folks like Senator Myrie, Assemblymember Simon, accountable for what happens between now and the end of this session. So what are you going to be watching for as the priorities in the time that remains?
I mean, I think the biggest one we're going to be watching for is what Governor Hochul laid out yesterday, that AR-15, the ban on AR-15 sales and potentially other guns to those under the age of 21, that is the one where it's going to be very interesting to watch how and if she can reach consensus with Assembly Democrats, with Senate Democrats. I mean, that is the headline proposal. That's the one that I'm going to be watching most closely.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you to Senator Zellner Myrie and Assemblymember Joanne Simon, both from Brooklyn, and to my colleague John Campbell, who covers Albany for WNYC and Gothamist. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.